there is something when you take that and you submit to the things, if God's bringing it to you, what's that saying? He'll bring you through it. And when we submit to that, that potential is unlocked and there's the light. Okay? So I know, Steve, it wouldn't look good if the fire chaplain's church burned down, so I'll leave that right there. But this is the thing I want you to see. Adversity, guys, is either going to be the thing that proves your faith or the things that brings your fear out so you can face it and trust God. If we can't trust God, we're going to end up in despair. We're going to end up angry. We're going to be disappointed. We're going to be frustrated. We're going to be grumpy. We'll get arrogant. We'll get independent. All those things are sin. Right? So he's saying, I don't want anything that's going to separate you from me. I'm making a provision for your emotions. I'm making provision for you that you're going to face that enemy. And like Moses told him, remember what God has already done. Remember when you called out on his name. Listen, Sunday is Miracle Sunday. I hope you're going to be here. We've got video testimonies that we're going to share. This year we're doing things different. We didn't even scratch the surface of what God's done in this church. It's wonderful. And you may have already seen it for those of you who are on Facebook, but this morning early, Darla Hildebrandt texted us and told us that Keith has no cancer in his body. Yes, let's just thank the Lord. God, thank you for that. Come on, stage 4 in your bones and all those things that he had to go through, and now there's nothing. That's God. Okay, that is God. And they proclaimed God and said God to everybody. So every time the enemy got in their face, it didn't mean that they didn't cry, because they'll tell you they did. It didn't mean that they didn't have downtimes. It means that they remembered the faithfulness of God from the past and called on him to be the same for the future. I know you could give the same testimony. Many people in here, Cynthia, many of you could give the same testimonies. But this is the point. He comes in and he's letting them know, and he says, so remembrance, that means never forget. I'm going to read to you out of Hosea 7:2. And they considered not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness, now their doings that have beset about them. They are before my face, the Lord says in Hosea 7:2. Well, man, I better be careful. Let's read Hebrews 8:12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Guys, that is not a coupon you can exchange for sin. That is a commitment to Jesus Christ as being the Lord of your life and saying, God, I recognize my weakness. I recognize who I'm not. I need you to come in and fill these places. And he says, I will remember those things no more when we put them under the blood. Not when we put them under our reasoning, not when we put them under our knowledge, not when we put them under how many people like us, not when we put them under the fact that we are advanced. No, the gifts and the callings are without repentance. We think we're all that. God gave you gifts, but they're to be used for the kingdom. And whether you repent or not, you're still going to have those giftings. Isn't that amazing? But the giftings are going to either frustrate you or you're going to have to keep working with them to promote yourself. Man, that is a lonely place to be, because when you have to promote yourself, it's based on who else is going with you. And I just want to tell you, Christian believers, there's times where you're going to have to go places alone. Because when God wants to get intimate with you, he's not going to bring a group. So now, in everything I did, Acts 20:35. I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'm going to read to you out of the New International, and it's the first book of the New Testament, Matthew. So if you want to turn there, first book of the New Testament, I'll read to you. I'm going to read you all of chapter 6. It's not that long. You'll live. Verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Well, Gay, how can I serve at Thanksgiving in the secret? Get a grip. That's not what he's talking about. But can I just say this? How many of you have served at Thanksgiving or Christmas, or you've gone and taken food to somebody, or you've done something? Those things have to be coordinated. It's not for your glory, but they have to be coordinated because there's bigger groups. But honestly, how many of you, by a show of hands in this room, have done that and gotten more fulfillment out of that personally than many of the other things? Yeah, me too. It's so rewarding. Why? Because God has placed in us the fulfillment. When we do the things that Jesus did, that he showed us who the Father is, because he was our high priest, and a priest does what? He represents the people to, and he represents God to. So he's shown us who the Father is, and he's let us be a part of that. You remember when we studied about when he sent out the 70 and they came back and said, wow, it's just the way you said it would be. Does that mean they didn't have adversity? No, because he planned for the adversity. He said, when you go out, if they don't receive you, shake your shoes off before you leave the town, let them know. He was telling you, you're going to have adversity. Just get over it. Don't let it affect your walk forward. Let me continue reading. He said, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, this is not a slot machine. I'm not going in there because I'm going to see if I can hit three cherries with Jesus, okay? I'm going in there because I want to have communion with him. I want him to speak to my heart, okay? And when I do that, he's going to reward me openly. Well, that didn't mean that somebody's going to come along and Wanda's going to come and go, oh, everybody, Gay's been in the prayer closet. No, that's not what that means. What it means is that something I've laid down before him, he's going to work for me. There's going to be a kiss between me and him. Sometimes nobody else is going to even know about it, but he's going to do it for you openly. And I'm just going to tell you, you think you got enemies? You got people that you're trusting? Is it a spouse? Is it a child? Is it a friend? Is it a brother or sister in Christ? They're going to disappoint you. But I'm just here to tell you tonight, when you keep your eyes on the Lord, is it going to be easy? No, I'm not going to lie to you, because it has to get through my flesh to work and bring that up in front of me for me to overcome it, so that I can trust him more and remember his faithfulness to me. He says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. And then here's the beautiful Lord's Prayer that we all know. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guys, that's a surrender. And isn't it amazing that that's exactly what Jesus had to do to get through and say, not my will, but yours be done. What do you think it was like for him to teach them that, knowing that he was going to live it for them first? Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is going to be hard, But you got to remember who he is. And here's what he did. And we're going to have to do the same thing. Don't take up for yourself. You have adversity? Don't take up for yourself. I'm not talking about in a job situation if there's truth that needs to be brought. I'm saying when someone you trust comes and attacks you, you don't have to take up for yourself. Not saying God wouldn't lead you to do it if you were in a desperate situation. But what I'm saying to you is we need to quit feeling like we have to be the savior and make it right and make somebody else make it right for me. You're going to do that. I mean, wow. Did God ever come to you like that? Isn't that the reason Moses couldn't cross over? Is because that's how he represented God? And the second thing I see is you don't be angry at your mockers. Jesus healed the ear of the soldier that Peter cut off. Don't be angry at them. Guys, this is a part of God's plan to when he delivers you, when he's gone before you, when he's already taken victory over your enemy, and that's 100% completely done through Jesus, when he brings the defeated enemy to you to face, remember who he is. And that will ignite your faith, not bring out the fear. Is that easy? No. Am I telling you because I need to be reminded too? Yes. But we can learn from this word and we can encourage one another. Oh, you know, it's just, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know what they've done to me. You don't blah, blah, blah. Well, you and me aren't going to figure it out, but he's already done it. I'm serious about this. And it's so easy to get caught up in this. And this is why people are angry. This is why people are depressed. This is why they're grumpy. This is why they're unforgiving. This is why they're angry. This is why they don't want God. We're not remembering who he is. All we're seeing is what is. It ain't no what. It's a who. Okay? I sound like Dr. Seuss. So, he says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, it's not what they did to you. He says, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Why is that? Because I am now counting on what they've done as more important than what Jesus did. So I'm not walking under the blood and the truth of who Jesus is. I'm walking under what's right, human emotion, what people say is fair. Is this world ever going to be fair? I think we can do better. Is this world ever going to be fair?
No.
So who do we have to go to for that? Yes, the Father. So look at verse 16. But when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. Because if you want your reward from people, that's all you're going to get. Oh, they finally understand me. I don't think, don't say amen, Steve. I don't think anybody in this world is ever going to understand me. Thank you. But I know he does. Right? So, when you fast, don't do that. Now, here again, he's going to say, see what's done in secret, I'll reward you in verse 18. Verse 19, and do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Yeah. What you devote your time, your money, your energies to, that's what you love. That's where your treasure is. It is that simple. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, that word actually means generous. In context, he's talking about where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So if your eyes are healthy, generous, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, it breaks down to the word stingy with your time, with your care, with your finances, with what you have. Man, can I just say this to you? Look at the season we're coming into, and everybody feels like they got to save money to to buy whatever it is for the people on their list. I want to tell you something. If you will give to the kingdom of God, you don't even know what blessing is, because you don't even have to pull out the green for him to come in and do it. I'm saying, I'm watching him bring in things. Well, you don't understand. It's not my bank account. No, you don't understand. It doesn't have to be about your bank account. God can bring you the thing that you need and more than you knew you need without you having to be in a green. All right? But again, he's letting you know, things that are done in secret, I'm going to reward you openly. And then he says in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And you've heard that. People have said, you know, before that word is mammon. Actually, the Greek word breaks down like this, mammonas, mammonas. It sounds like mammon, doesn't it? But what that word means is not, it's not just about money. Hear what it means. It means that you have a confidence, a wealth that's become personified. Let me talk to you about personification, not give you an English lesson. But personified means that you're giving a life, a human quality to something that's inanimate. Like if I said the guns coughed in the air as they were fired. Guns can't cough, right? Humans do. That's personification. So what he's really saying is when you talk about mammon, it becomes something that people make alive and they put their confidence in it. You think that sounds reasonable? Right. So what's happening is because it becomes personified, it becomes an idol. See, wood is just wood till somebody shapes it in the form of something and starts saying there's power in it. Money's just money till you start believing that it's got more power than God. I'm telling y'all know I love me some Kanye West, and I'm telling you this. All my idols got the goat. All the demons got the note. It's a mission, not a show. Well, you know, Kanye West, he said, I don't care what Kanye West said. Listen, Bob Dylan had a song that was one of the most powerful songs. You got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And the girls with real voices would go, serve somebody. Yeah. And so, well, look at Bob Dylan now. Well, I don't look at Bob Dylan. I'm looking at Jesus. Do you understand? There's times when I get things right, and there's times when I get them wrong. But what we should be doing is showing Jesus to people, showing how you can overcome. And I'm not going to look at their failures and mistakes because he's not looking at mine. It's not my job to go in and clean up those people. It's not your job to go in and clean up the sinner. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. My job is to get in agreement with the Word of God that is going forth and pray that the Word will not return void. And I don't care what it comes through or who it comes through, the Word of God will not fail. Stop looking at people. And by all means, start praying for people. You can spend your time condemning or praying. A little side note there. So here we go. He says, Proverbs 14:26 says that in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. You're not going to have refuge if your confidence is in money, because it can come and go. This saying. You don't know how much I got in the bank. Let me tell you something. Anybody from the 80s remember what it was like to have your bank accounts wiped out when the stock market fell down? We lived in Manhattan Beach, California, and I want to tell you, wealthy people were blowing their brains out in that city because they couldn't keep up with their lifestyle after they lost all their money. You can go back and look that up in the papers. People that lose everything, if your confidence is in money, then you've made it an idol. Deuteronomy 7:26, he says, neither shalt thou bring an abomination. This is Moses. He's still telling the kids how to do it. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and they shall utterly abhor it, for it's a cursed thing. When people bring something into their houses that they love more than God, ooh, she's in the meddle now. I'm not going to meddle. The Holy Spirit will tell you what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. There is no crystal ball up in here, okay? We're hearing the Holy Spirit. That's the reason during praise and worship that Shannon said, you're about to go into your land. You're about to get your land. Look what. But did we know that? No. Did we communicate? Yes. As she was walking up on the stage, I waved at her and she waved back. Yeah, that was our communication tonight. So the point of this is, when he calls it an accursed thing, you've heard Steve teach on this, that word is carom. And carom is about money. So when it comes to it, these things are idols. And in Deuteronomy 7, 25 and 26, both, he's talking about these things. Gay, are you, you know, bagging on money tonight because the church needs it? I want to tell you something, little friends. The church is always going to need money because the more I have, the more need I'm going to feel. Yeah. Do I want this church repaired? 100%. I don't want to give it to the next generation in disrepair. We came in with that. We fixed it 26 years. Thank you, Lord. It's time to redo it. You with me? I want to see those things happen. But God is going to bless the people, you and other people. They're going to do the work of God, and they're going to be blessed beyond what the money could have done for them. I'm just trying to help you out here. Well, you don't understand, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something. Health, peace, the things that God can give you the money can't buy. Oh, well, you know, money, I can have these medical conditions. When we're seeing people like June Robinson that has the before and after picture of the tumor in the lungs and the tumor not in the lungs, and a doctor didn't have time to do something, that ain't because no money paid for it. That's because of the JESUS. All right? This is what I'm talking about. So he comes and he says it, and I'm sharing this with you because I feel like we've gotten caught up by fear. Oh, if I keep this. Oh, I better have this. Oh, I better whatever. Guys, give it to God. If it's just the fear of the thought of money, go in your prayer closet and say, God, I'm terrified to do this. And I'm telling you, when he brings the enemy up in your face, it's because it's not if, it's when. He's already delivered you. You're going to be able to walk into that land without fear, but you're going to have faith. But not if we don't remember him. So I want to give you a final scripture on remembering. Steve would be really proud of me because this scripture is in Luke 22:19. And it says, do this, what does that table say? In remembrance. That is why Jesus said, as often as ye eat and drink of this, do it in remembrance of me. Because our faith lacks because of a lack of remembering Jesus. And you can't remember Jesus if you've never given something to him in a trial of adversity. Well, you know, I did that before. I can do it again. Yeah, you know what? You'll keep coming up with obstacles until there's one you can't overcome. And that's the mercy of God. Because he, you know why? Because he's still with you. He's not looking to reject you. He is looking to interject into your soul the truth of his word and the life-giving force of what he can do for you. Can I get an amen in this house? Amen. Yes, he is. So that's the thing that Jesus has left us with is communion, to remember him. Remembering brings up your faith. That's why Moses was saying, remember how he helped you cross the Red Sea. Remember how he annihilated all the Egyptians. They couldn't come after you. But watch this. Well, wasn't it Moses' hands that were up in the air? And if he put his hands down, the water would have crashed in on them. Did Moses say, remember when I Remember when Aaron helped hold up my, remember when we did this? No, he did not. God wants to use you, but he wants the glory of it, because we need to be reminding people, I remember when my arms were so weak and God sent me help, because he wants me to do my part. He wants to bring the enemy up in front of you so that you can defeat them. And what did the end of that verse say in 7:2? You remember? Totally annihilate. Totally annihilate. That means that thing can't talk anymore. If Romans 6:6 says that we are like dead to our sins, that word actually means paralyzed or inactive. Okay? So here's the thing. You ever see those movies where somebody's paralyzed and they want somebody to put a cigarette in their mouth for them? Because they can't do it anymore. Don't think the enemy won't send someone to help you when you decide you're not going to do something. Oh, they'll be there to offer to help you. And then they'll be there to offer to keep you dependent on them or mad at you if you don't do what they want. And the whole time you've got a loving Father who's waiting to embrace you, who is waiting to renew you, who is waiting to set you free. But he's going to do it with my choice. And that's what he's saying. I want you to totally annihilate this. I want you to go, this is to me, that definition. I want you to go into your house and get rid of this stuff, Gay. I want you to go, yeah, my garage is full from getting it all out, and I'm going to get it out of the garage. Yeah? Right? Because there's some things in there that aren't important anymore, but your emotions will be attached to them. So he's saying, get your emotions in check, give your first love to me, and let's annihilate that stuff so it no longer has an effect on you. And it'll just be like, what? I don't even want that anymore. Will you still be tempted? Yes. I hadn't had sugar, but am I tempted? Yes. Okay? Are you evil pie eaters at the ladies' retreat? Yes, I was tempted. I didn't eat any. Yeah, I saw who ate it right then. Don't say it was good. Yeah. Here's the thing. I even made pies this past week. Someone ate one and I gave the other one away, right? Because it's not going to have dominion over me. God has provided that for me. You can laugh at me about it, but I'm telling you, there are things in our life that God wants to bring to us, not to fill us with fear, not so we will fail, not because he's mean, but because he's wonderful and he wants us to prevail. He wants us to face them and overcome them. But I got to remember who he is and not who I am. Anybody know who you are without him? Yeah? I do. I think I'll coast for a little while and everything will be okay. But he'll let me face my enemy to show me. Okay? Let's get rid of this. Destroy it. Right? So he's going to do his part, but there is a part he wants me to do. And I think that's why James said, faith without works is dead. Not me working it out, my righteousness, my salvation, but me getting in agreement with whatever God says. So tonight I want you to stand with me and I want to simply say this to you. Has God called you to be a priest? Anybody? Yes. As kings and priests, he's calling us. So I need to be representing you to God, and you need to be representing me to God, and I need to be representing God to you, and you need to be representing God to me and everybody else. It's so simple. But I'm going to have to face my fears. My faith is not lacking. My remembering is lacking. So tonight, we're going to remember the Lord. Can you do that with me? Father, tonight we just submit to you. God, I'm so grateful that you have already defeated my enemies. And God, these seven enemies were so much bigger than the children of Israel. That they were honed warriors. They had all the weaponry. God, thank you that you prepared them not to look with their eyes at what they didn't have, but to look at you and what you have. God, you have already given us the victory over the things that are bigger than us. God, whether we invited it in or whether it was just, Lord, the time and the culture and we got swept away, whatever it is, God, we repent tonight, God, and we turn our thoughts instead of on us to you. We say, God, that we want you involved in this. And so we remember you. We remember your goodness. We remember your suffering. We remember your victory. And Jesus, if you're still alive, I'm going to still be alive. But my life, my joy, God, is not found in anything in this earth. Because I tried. It's found in you. Tonight, I'm just going to ask you to just take a minute. Ask him into that place that you're concerned about. Lord, fill this place right now with your presence and your peace. Break off the fear right now in Jesus' name. You're so afraid to even try. But you got a Savior who's standing right beside you. You've got mercy and grace behind you. You've got a victory line in front of you. And all he's asking you to do is walk. Just keep walking. We thank you for that tonight, Lord. Make your word real in our lives, God. We'll give you all the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. Now, I want you to be here Sunday. We're going to have some amazing testimonies. We're going to let people share a little bit, but I think it's important for us to set aside and come and praise God. Yep. Amen. We won't have service next Wednesday night. There won't be a service next Wednesday night. Because they'll be preparing for Thursday to serve, okay? So they'll be making dressing and cutting up hams and turkeys. There's sign-up sheets in the foyer if you hadn't already signed up. Amen?